radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. That's the station you're listening to. You might be getting us on some of the corresponding frequencies, retransmitters and all of that sort of stuff that go on that help you in whatever part of the county you are in to get the signal of the radio station as strong and as clear as you can receive it. You might, if you're listening at 10:30 of a morning, you might be listening on WWBC 1510 AM, and there is even an FM transmission of that. I know that because I found it on my radio, and I only get the FM on my radio. It's like I was going through the dial, and it's like, well, that sounds like me, and there I was. 10:30 of a morning. So whichever station you choose to listen to, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, we are thankful that you have tuned in and are going to be hearing today about the will of God. We talked on yesterday's program about some prophetic ministry that had taken place in Paul's life and whether that ministry was to prevent him from experiencing harm or if it was preparing him for the activities that come ahead. And today we're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll get into some more of that and some help as far as gaining understanding about the will of the Lord. So hopefully this will be a program that is beneficial to you. I do want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, J-I-T-S, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. You won't hear a lot of people advertising block and concrete work because you're generally dealing with general contractors and subcontractors and all of that sort of stuff. But if you've got a job that you need done, maybe you are a contractor, what I have discovered in dealing with contractors is that those relationships come and go. They come and go. And if you are looking for somebody that's been in the business for a long time, does great work and has a diligent work ethic, will treat you fairly, will treat you with expertise and get the job done, and you won't be regretting it at all, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Jits Concrete. They'll be a blessing to you like they've been a blessing to us. You know, as I was attempting to sleep last night, and that's, I use that word correctly, I hit a rough patch in the middle of the night, which hasn't happened very, very much. A lot of times, if I'm having trouble sleeping, it would be because I had, caffeine later in the day than I normally do. I'm, because of sleep challenges, I don't do much in the way of caffeine. I hardly drink any coffee. Don't drink much in the way of tea or anything like that. So my caffeine intake is way down. Well, one of the things that we did to help improve our sleep was we got a new bed. You spend about a third of your life in bed, and so it really helps if you've got a bed that is going to give you the sleep that you want. Well, that's been pretty successful for us. We've had our bed for around a month or a little over a month. I'm not sure exactly how long it's been. And my sleep has been a lot better. It's taken my wife a little bit longer to adjust than it has me, but it's been great for my sleep. But last night I woke up and it wasn't the discomfort of the bed. It wasn't the temperature. It wasn't the caffeine or anything like that. I was awakened with a burden for our country. And that there's a power struggle that is going on. And there's a dichotomy that is taking place. And I'm not here to talk politics. What I am here to ask you to do is to pray for our country. We need a divine invasion, if you will, like they had when Jesus came and was born in the manger. It was like Jesus has showed up on the scene and things are going to be different and people are going to start coming and worshiping. We need God in our government again. And so I want to encourage you to be praying. I want you to pray that that ungodliness would be exposed. I pray that godliness will take root. Lord, I pray that people will have repentant hearts, that they'll be more concerned about what God wants. They'll be more concerned about the will of God than they are about the will of their supporters or their philosophies, that the will of God would be done. And so just wanted to share with you what's going on in my life, and I pray that you will join me in praying for the kings and for all those in authority, that it might go well with us and that we might be able to live our lives in the peace that God wants us to. So that's my current activity, and I pray that you will join me in praying for our country. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. We've talked about this a little bit when we were discussing the way that we walk. Verse number 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We talked about that. Walking circumspectly means to walk diligently or exactly or perfectly. Verse number 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So today it's, when you're looking at this, in verse number 17, it says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is talking specifically about the will of the Lord and the quality, the character of our life, how we're going to walk in obedience to the will of God, or we're going to walk in rebellion to the will of God. And he says, I don't want you to walk or to live in a condition that would be labeled unwise. Walking in the will of the Lord is wisdom. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That is a wise thing to do. There are a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have much in the way of understanding. They don't have understanding when it comes to application. And I think that we need to take advantage of the glorious opportunity that God gives us to understand what he wants. And so I would ask you this question: how do you go about pursuing understanding what the will of the Lord is? I guarantee you, you don't go with groupthink. You don't take a political opinion poll to determine what the will of God is. You need to go to God, and you need to find out, God, what do you want in this situation? What is your will? What is your desire? Give me the delight to do your will. You know, give me the desire to do your will. Help me to understand. Many times people hesitate in their embracing the will of God until they have understanding. I want to tell you that my obedience needs to be because God said it before I hesitate and say, okay, well, I'm going to embrace the will of God when I have a full awareness of all of the situations, of all of the details. And then I'm going to weigh it in a fulcrum. I'm going to weigh it in the on the scales of justice, and I'm going to say, okay, this is the way that we go. That's not the way that it operates. We need to come to that place where thus saith the Lord is the greatest understanding that we have, that we understand that it is not just an opinion. It is not something that is just popular. It's not a passing phrase or a stage of life or a rite of passage. It's none of that sort of stuff. We're talking about the will of the omnipotent, omniscient, meaning he knows all things, he is able to do all things, eternal King of glory. That's whose will we're talking about. We're not talking about a mental dimwit. We're not talking about an archaic philosopher. We're talking about someone who understands the current realities and the eternal realities, and who knows how he wants us to live. He knows the purpose that we were created for. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That is wisdom. So as he makes that statement, there's a conjunction there, the word and it says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? And so there it is very plain, it is stated very clearly. God does not want you living in an intoxicated state. He wants you living filled with the Spirit. I find the word intoxicated to be a quite intriguing word, because the root word that word is built is toxic. That the things that people are willfully and abundantly putting into their bodies literally are poisoning their cells and damaging their cells. And I don't think that God wants us to do that. I believe that God wants us being filled with the Spirit. If we're going to understand what the will of God is, we need to have more than just an understanding. We need to have an application. And that means that we need the Spirit of God empowering us to do what God wants us to do. But let's fixate a little bit on understanding. How do we gain understanding? I'm so thankful that I'm not limited into the understanding that I can get. I want to take you to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I preached on this at my very first Christmas message this year. It's the God who gives, and it was part one, the God who gives, and I'm not going to present the whole message here. There was a lot more that I could have shared than I did. This last week I preached the God who gives part two, and then on Christmas, on the 23rd, I'm going to be preaching the God who gives part three. So In verse 169, it says this, "Let my cry come before you, O God, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." Give me understanding according to your word. "Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word." Wouldn't it be interesting if we realized that deliverance was not just from problems, but from missing the mark? That God wants us to understand the will of the Lord so that we don't miss the mark. And the very first process, now I'm not going to go in verse order. I'm going to go in topic order as we go through Psalm 119 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's five things from Psalm 119 I'm going to share about understanding. I don't know if I'll get through all of this today from the clock. I would say that it is doubtful. But I can tell you this, that the best and the first step to gaining understanding as to what the will of the Lord is that we get it from His Word. We get it from His Word. We recently had an order that came in from our National Resource Center, and in it were several Bible reading guides that people could avail themselves of if they wanted to read through the scriptures in a year. There's a lot of different plans that are out there. Find one that works for you. If the last one didn't work for you, find one that does. But I can tell you this, that depriving ourselves of studying the Word of God, sitting under the ministry of the Word of God, sitting under the teachers who are teaching the Word of God, if we deprive ourselves of that, what we are doing is we are compromising, stealing understanding from ourselves. The Word of God is viewed as precious by people who are living in an oppressive state. They would rather have the Word of God than just about anything that you can imagine. They, from some of the Bible projects that we have been involved in, when we see videos of the people receiving their Bibles, it's not something that is received in a lighthearted manner, but with tears of appreciation and an emotional outburst, because it's not just a Bible. It's a Bible in a language that they speak and that they understand. And they realize that they are getting ready to have greater understanding than they've ever had before. In many, many places, they'll only have one Bible for an entire church. And what they will do would almost seem sacrilegious to us, but what they would do is they would take a page and they would cut it out of the Bible, and they would give the one page to this person and a page to this person and a page to this person over here. And then they would rotate those passages around so that people could have access to the Word of God. I'm very thankful that the Word has found ways to be presented in non-literate societies, places where people can't read. Now they can hear the Bible through phones. They can receive the Bible through websites. YouVersion, which is done out of Life Church out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, they have the Bible that is available free of charge through their app. And it's in so many different languages that it's amazing. And they're not doing it to make money. They are doing it to make the Word of God available to people so that they can grow in their understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Okay? You know what we in America do? We are so modernized, and things come so easily that we just want to go to a person and say, "Okay, you tell me what the will of God is." And you know what God's response to that is? "Here's my Bible. Here's my word. Go and learn to recognize my voice. Okay? It's not call 1-800 local prophet and have that prophet just give you the will of God. God is looking for us to say, you know what? I want to recognize God's voice. I want to know what he has to say. I want to know what he tells me to do and what he tells me to run from, to flee from, tells me things to avoid. Because that's the wise thing to do. Okay? Don't just be dependent upon a middleman. Like we talked about yesterday, you know, there may be people who operate in prophetic gifts, and those are either going to be a word that prevents you from doing something or they prepare you for something. What you do with it, that's up to you. But we want to understand what the will of the Lord is, and Psalm 119 verse number 169 says, give me understanding according to your word. The second thing that I want to point out to you is in verse 125, and it says, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Okay? And testimonies here could be another reference to the word of God, but I want to fixate on the testimony fact as far as modern application, and that is this. God never wanted to act miraculously in a society that miraculous act was not somehow communicated to the next generation. God wanted them to understand that he was not just the God who did miracles in the past. He is the God who will do miracles in our midst as well. And so I want to ask you during this Christmas season, what are some of the wonderful, miraculous things that God has done in your life? If we fixate on all of the problems of the world, instead of being fixated on the glorious things that God has done, then we're going to go around and we're going to be depressed. And so I want to remind myself of the times when God answered prayer and there was healing, and kidneys were healed, and hearts were healed, and that people came into church racked with pain, and they left liberated from those afflictions, and you know, healings of cancer and heart disease. So many wonderful. Now I will tell you, I do not have total understanding about how healing works, but I do know this: we serve a miracle working God. And so when I have a testimony, I promise you, I share it liberally. I want people to know, hey, look what God did. The greatest testimony is the testimony of salvation. Let me put it this way. A person who's been dead and they're alive isn't afraid to share that testimony. And that's what we were. We were spiritually dead. Jesus came in and gave us abundant life, victorious life, eternal life, and we want to go around and say, well, I don't want anybody to know about it. There was a blind man that Jesus healed, and he said, now don't tell anybody what happened. And you might look at that and say, why would he say not to tell anybody? Well, there were other miracles that he wanted to do. But the truth of the matter was this: everybody in that community knew that he was blind. A blind person navigated life, required assistance that a person of sight did not necessarily need. So the fact that Jesus restored his sight was not going to be something he was going to have to tell them. It was going to be something that they noticed. How were you blind and now you see? Look in John chapter 9, and you're going to find that that's exactly what happened. People said, look, you were born blind. How come you can see now? And you know, I like the guy a lot. He says, well, let me tell you again, because it sounds like you want to be one of his disciples. Okay? And so you and I, we need to be very vocal about sharing the testimonies that God has for us. And I will tell you what happens when you share your testimony. It builds faith. It builds faith in someone else. Because you and I, when we've received comfort in our trouble, when we proclaim that, we understand that God could help them in that situation. Interesting thing with Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah was getting ready to be carried up in a chariot of fire, he came to the waters, and he took the mantle that he had, and he struck the waters, and the waters parted, and they crossed over. Elijah was then carried up in a chariot of fire. Elisha had been promised that he would receive a double portion, even though it was a very difficult request. He said, if you see me when I am taking up, you will receive that double portion. And as Elijah was carried up, Elisha cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and letting him know, I'm seeing what's going on. I fulfilled the terms, and I'm going to walk in that double portion that you said would be mine if I saw this that is happening right now. So Elisha comes to the Jordan River, and he said, I just saw a miracle of the waters being parted when Elijah had the mantle, and he stood at the waters and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he struck the waters with that mantle and the waters parted for him. He's like, this miracle working God. He didn't leave the scene. The prophet might have left the scene, but the God who provides the testimonies, he's still here and he's still working, and he's not left Israel abandoned. Today, I want to encourage you. If you have a need, build your faith up in the Word. Find somebody who's had a similar need and find out the testimony that they have in their life. And say, you know what? I'm so thankful for that testimony. And what good things God has done for you, please share those. If he's spoken to you through one of these programs, send an email and let us know. I've got some people that do that from time to time. I'm always very appreciative of what God has done. You and I, we gain understanding when we understand the testimonies that God has. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.